excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Washington State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home. Well, that another week, another single touchdown victory for the Bears. Or less. This is starting to become a habit for them. But what's also becoming a habit is the defense finishing it off. This is 2 weeks in a row now where the Bears gave the ball back and gave the opposition ample opportunity to score again. But the defense sealed the deal. So that's really nice to see. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start with a game recap. Game started out with a very flat set of Bears. They ended up trading touchdowns in the first quarter, then let the Cougars get up 21-7 with a few minutes before halftime. The third touchdown that made it 21-7 coming on a fourth and goal quarterback sneak where the Bears looked like they had it all held up, and then it's totally stood up Falk at the goal line, and then somehow he just kind of fell to the side and a offensive lineman kind of yanked him into the end zone, pulling him forward about a half yard and gave him a touchdown. On review, it was up withheld, and I think that was the right call from what I was seeing on the Jumbotron. And things were looking pretty bleak for the Bears at that point. WSU was driving down the field with ease. The defense looked confused and hesitant. And the offense was impotent, shooting itself in the foot with mistakes, interceptions, what have you. But the Bears managed to drive down the field before halftime, get a second score to make it a respectable 14-21, or excuse me, they missed the extra point at that point, so it was 13-21 going into the locker room, but gave the Bears some hope. The issue was they'd had to turn things around. If it went like it was in the first half, the Bears were going to lose that game, but they at least were within striking distance if they could turn it around. In the second half, the Bears got a boost. The defense stopped on fourth down. WSU opted to do a fake punt, had the punter run the ball to try to get the first down. He almost made it there, but then he fumbled the ball. And it was picked up by the Bears, who went down the field to make it a 20-21 game. And at that point, for the most part, the Bears took over. They did allow one more touchdown before the end, but they themselves scored two more times. Went for the extra, again, for a two-point conversion twice, got it once. Luckily, the review came in before they kicked off. I was sure it was complete, that foot was on the ground, and I don't know why it took so long for the booth to decide to review it. But they did eventually and overturned it. And so with the two touchdowns, with one missed extra, one missed two-point conversion, one set two-point conversion is the same as two made extra points. So 34 points for the Bears, 28 for WSU, who got that one more touchdown in the game. But again, going back to it, the Bears handed over the ball a number of times late in the game there, and the defense came up big time and time again, forcing punts, catching interceptions. Lots of good things happening on defense there in the second half. Giving up 7 points to WSU in a half is very good. Giving up 28 points to them in a game, also commendable. A big step forward from last year. And it seemed like a defense to me that had some purpose in the second half, knew what it wanted to do, knew to vary things up. Sometimes they rushed three. Sometimes they came with the hard bull rush of five. Sometimes were very aggressive in man coverage. Sometimes went to zone. Really kept Falk somewhat confused. but also never left anybody remarkably open. There were no huge openings that he was able to throw into. Sure, there were the little 10-yard passes, 12-yard passes, 6-yard passes, but nothing that really just screamed out trouble. And then when you combine that with the diversity of how they were defending, it made it so that there were those opportunities to really stop WSU. They weren't able to just march down the field 4 and 5 yards at a time, or in some cases worse, those 8 and 9 yards of play that can just eat you up. Yeah, you're keeping it in front of you. Yeah, there's nothing horrible, but you just march right down the field. And the Bears had some games like that last year, and the WSU game was one of them. But not that at all today. They were very good at pursuit to the, when they did the patterns to the flat, but they did it in a way where they didn't have to focus too much coverage on that guy. They were able to kind of stay back with the wide receivers until the ball was thrown, and then quickly close the distance and only give up a few yards. Really a pretty good performance from the defense, but not overwhelming. That's not the type of performance that's going to win against a top flight team. One thing that was very nice to see, although to some degree in the second half it wasn't as obvious, but was the defensive line pressure, the sacks. I think we ended up with 7 on the day, and that's a good day. They were mixing it up. They were doing different things. I think you keep the quarterback on his back. He gets nervous, makes mistakes. Did a pretty good job of bringing the pressure and getting sacks. Don't think that works against a team with a better offensive line, but they did reasonably well in getting there. And sometimes they brought a lot of guys, but sometimes they got there when they were only rushing 3. It just kind of depended on how things went. So felt pretty good about the defensive performance. Long way to say, a lot more than confidence than I had in my preview post where I thought they would score in the 40s. 28, something to be pretty happy about. Offense, very inconsistent performance. There were moments that were very, very good. There were moments that were pretty pathetic. It just kind of depended on the situation. Goff, although he had good numbers, I wouldn't say it was his best day. There were some just plain misses where he overthrew or underthrew. Just bad misses. Something we haven't seen out of him much. In general, I just felt like the offense came out really, really flat. I mean, even the defense was a little bit flat there late first quarter through the mid to late second quarter, but not nearly to the degree of the offense, where they just didn't seem to be intense and in rhythm and striking hard, and Goff was amongst that. He had some just missed throws that really disappointed. Also, the run push early in the game was really, really weak. It got better later in the game. But, yeah, when they were in that malaise, they just weren't getting a good run push. The one thing they seemed to have throughout the game, for the most part, was a good pass protection. The offensive line, I thought, did a very good job of protecting Goff all throughout. He had time back there to throw. He had time to throw back there a lot. And oftentimes he was waiting a long time. This game is not a game that is going to help his impressive statistic, how quickly he gets rid of the ball. He held on to the ball a number of times today, much longer than he normally does. So it was interesting to see him do that, but he was rewarded by the fact that the offensive line, even when the rest of everything was in a malaise, that seemed to be the one thing that gave me some hope and some comfort. But the rest of the offense there for most of the first half, up until that drive that brought it to 14 points, was pretty pathetic. Mistakes, bad effort, drop balls, bad throws, penalties. I mean, you name it. Just was not the best execution. And I don't think it was because we were up against a top-flight defense. I think WSU maybe slightly underappreciated, but this is not a top-flight defense. And I think the real risk we're going to see against a good team like next week is a team that is probably going to get stuff our offense, the offense is going to have to play a lot better for that not to be the case. So, anyway, we'll get to the future in a bit. But the second half, I saw a lot more of what I like about the Bears. They definitely seem to find their rhythm in the second half. I have a feeling, so I was telling my kids that Dykes really kicked them in the ass in the locker room and said, you got to get up and start playing some football. Because I didn't see anything real schematically change between the first half and the second half. At least it wasn't apparent to me on there at the game. But obviously it was different. Also, actually, the aggressiveness of Dykes was interesting in, and I don't even necessarily want to say it in a positive or a negative way, but he called for an onside kick. The Bears recovered it. He called it at a wise time when it was not to be expected, but also a good moment in the game to decide to do it. That was very nice to see. That was a really nice aggressive call. He went for his first two-point conversion. I think there was a minute left in the third quarter or somewhere in that kind of range. Personally, I think that's a bit early, but again, he was being aggressive. And then he went for it again later in the game to try to make up those points that he lost. Again, an aggressive thing to do, trying to get to 6 points as opposed to five. Usually, I think by the book, that's not that important, but you know, he just, I think, was having an aggressive mindset, which, you know, sometimes you need that. Sometimes the players need to feel that the coach trusts them and is willing to coach aggressively. The play calling as we were trying to run out the clock in the fourth quarter was also reasonably aggressive, diverse enough that we kept the ball moving. Now, against a better defense, they would have helped. There was a third and 36, and Wary popped for a very long run to get a first down. A good job keeping on his feet through one foot tackle. And then there were a couple other third and longs where Goff completed passes to keep those drives alive. But even before that, we were seeing a mix of run and pass. But which brings me to one thing that's just very, very clear, because this was true in the first half, and it was true in the second half. This offensive line is not good enough that when they need 2 yards on third down, they can go out and get it. They're just not good enough for that. If the defense knows that that's what they're doing, it's not going to happen. And it doesn't matter if you bring in big old 99, who I'm still underimpressed with, it doesn't matter. This team doesn't have that. That's part of what we saw in the fourth quarter of why there were some thirds and longs they had to complete. But they didn't just keep pounding it like I saw in the Texas game. There was some diversity of play calling. There was some passes out into the flats. There were some wide receiver screens. There were some things that, you know, got the ball spread out and moved to different places on the field while still being high percentage plays that kept the clock running. So that was nice to see and a good sign overall for the way the team's headed. I think a sign that Dykes is recognizing the limitations, not trying to just do what he can't do, and finding a way to still accomplish the goals at the end of the game of draining some clock while still moving the ball down the field. Running backs. I have said this on the blog, I believe I've said it in one of the podcasts before, completely besides myself understanding why Muhammad is not the primary back right now. Yes, and Wary popped the big 36-yarder, but, or, you know, however long that run was, it was third and 36, and I think he got 40 or so. But overall, I want the ball in Muhammad's hands. That kid is better at making things happen. He's cuts to the right holes more often. I've seen Nwiri go to the wrong hole more than once. He's just, he's not bad. I'm not trying to be critical of him, but Muhammad is better. And I really don't understand what the coaches saw in Nwiri that made him put both Nwiri and Trey Watson, who used to be ahead of Muhammad on the depth chart. And ahead of him, it really, in my opinion, should be Muhammad right now while we're still rehabbing Lasko. Now, Lasko played for a little bit at the beginning of the game and didn't play again. Not sure if that was just a re-injury or if it was a re-injury, which is bad, or if it was just a case of after a few plays it was clear that he's not quite 100% and they have enough confidence in Weary and Muhammad that they didn't want to press their luck with Lasko back there. We definitely are missing Lasko. Lasko is a combination of Muhammad and Nwiri's strengths. He's got the speed. He picks the right holes. He has the hands of Muhammad. Nwiri has dropped more than one pass out of the flat, by the way. And he's got the balance of Nwiri, the power of Nwiri. He's got the whole package. So I would love to have him back. I can see why he's in front of Muhammad on the depth chart. But lacking him, I think Muhammad should be guy number two. And frankly, even though Lasko has a lot of the characteristics of Muhammad, Muhammad is still faster, he is still shiftier, and there's times to bring him in even when Lasko is 100% and fresh. So that's my opinion. I really don't get what happened. Muhammad used to be number two on the depth chart. Nothing I've seen out of him this season or last gives me any reason to suggest he shouldn't hold that spot, and just don't get it. And, you know, I may miss something entirely. I may not understand something, but beyond me. Wide receivers, another great game for the wide receivers, I thought. Really, this is a very good unit. We should not get too complacent in appreciating how good they are. Lawler made another one-handed grab while the DB was holding his arms. By the way, I think the referees were pretty forgiving on pass interference today. Both sides of the ball. In fact, was there a single pass interference call today? I don't know that there was. If there was, it was not many. So they were able to get away with shoving and pushing on both sides, but still the Cal receivers were coming up with the receptions over and over again, tight roping the lines. The only one play that was a real disappointment, and I'm forgetting who it was, but that wide open catch that was called back because he stepped out of bounds, and there was no call for it. He was just not watching where he was and stepped out about 5 yards before he caught the ball. Just stupid. But you know what? It's not something to get overly worked up about, but it was a stupid play. But otherwise, great hands, good routes, came back to the ball when routes broke down. Just very good week for the wide receivers. Interestingly, we did not see a lot of the two tight end set that we saw in the Texas game. And maybe it's just they saw something in Texas that made them like that, but we haven't seen that in either the Washington or the WSU game. And I really liked it. I liked how it allowed us to run but still send four guys out, because the guys they're using as tight ends are their big wide receivers who really are, it's hard to call what they are. Well, they're more wide receiver than tight end, but they're big enough that they can manage as a catching tight end and one who's blocking in rare occasion. So interesting, we have not seen much of that ever since the Texas game. And then finally, big old 99, I'm forgetting his name. I think people are actually starting to, not sour is too strong of a word, but be less impressed. You know, he'd been built up as this guy who was really going to, you know, he could get the fullback who could push the pile and get so that the running back had 2 yards to get. And also could catch out of the backfield and all these things. My patootie, that guy he's not bad. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he is just a big defensive lineman who they're trying to force into an offensive role. He has not done a great job opening holes for the running back when he comes in. And he's dropped the ball a couple times. He's been thrown it. So He's fine. I don't have any problem with him, but I just don't think he's anything special, and he's definitely not the guy I'm going to when I'm in a pinch and I need 2 yards or something like that. And there was at least once today where they did that, and guess what? They didn't get the first down. It would really be nice to have a fullback, a real fullback, like Cal has had under Tedford, to be there to plow open a lane for a running back when he needs to get 2 yards. But overall, you know, you have to like the grit of this team. Yes, they started out slowly, but they didn't let it get away. They found a way to get back in the game. They found a way to start running, to start moving the ball effectively. The defense doubled down, came up with a lot of big stops. This isn't the kind of performance that's going to beat better teams in the conference, but when better to have a little bit of a down game if you come and do what you need to do by the end. These close games, I think, are going to wear on the team. They definitely wore on the team last year, but at least this year they're winning them all. And so we still have a few games ahead of us that are very winnable. We definitely are getting to the better half of the schedule. We may have just seen, with the exception of Oregon State, all of the worst teams on our schedule. But I do think this team has a shot at some of the remaining teams. Utah's going to be real tough. I don't know what they did today, but they may have even been off. I don't remember, but they and that would stink because that would be 2 weeks in a row that Cal is playing a team coming off of a bye, which sucks. It always sucks to have that happen. But in any case, I'm not sure that's the case. But Utah looked really good against Oregon. It was not just that Oregon's not who they used to be. So they're going to be a very tough game to win. I'll be in full jumping up and down victory, joyous elation if they pull off that win next week. It's a tough place to go and play. I've taken the boys there on a train trip. We had a lot of fun, but it's one of those small places that's intimidating because there's a bunch of crazy people. Tough place to go play a game, and they're looking like a pretty good team. They've built the two lines being strong, winning the game at the line of scrimmage. Then we have our pseudo bye before we go to UCLA for the midweek game. Always tough to go down to the Rose Bowl. UCLA looks pretty good this year. Then we come home to USC, who, you know, kind of depends what you think of them. But again, they're not going to be easy. Definitely all three of these teams are better than what we've had so far. Then we have Oregon State at home, if my memory serves. Again, that's the light one on the schedule. But then you get down to Oregon, Stanford, Arizona State to finish out the season. Don't think I'm missing anyone in that list. And all three of those, I think, are stronger than everybody we've played. Oregon, I guess, if they really are imploding, they could be, you know, on the weaker side of the list. We have to, unfortunately, go to Eugene, which is tough. It also feels like we're just not getting a good shift of the home games this year. You know, just we get... It'd be really nice to have Oregon in Berkeley. That's a team I'd love to have in Berkeley this year. Love to have Utah in Berkeley this year. They're a team that seems to struggle. Well, not in Eugene, they didn't, but they're a team that has a history of not performing necessarily all that well when they when things aren't, you know, when they're playing better teams on the road. But in any case. When we have to go to Stanford, Arizona State at home, I guess that's one I am happy to have at home. That's a game where definitely Arizona State has shown some propensity to not do as well on the road. But, not exactly a huge win there. And going to Stanford, going to Oregon, going to UCLA, going to Utah, it just feels like a real tough mix. Okay, well, that's what's coming up. As I said, Utah's going to be a tough one next week. I, at this point, think the Bears were going to lose that one if they don't do something special. But maybe they do. Maybe they've got something in them to take that next leap, to clean up their game. When this offense is firing efficiently and cleanly, they're very tough to stop. Even a good defense is going to have a tough time with them. The offensive line's gotten better, particularly in pass protection, and it forces the defense to play in a way that allows to open up running lanes, but I think we have to pass to run, not the other way around. And then it's a matter of it's going to be a matter of the defense. And the good news is we're seeing real meaningful improvement there. We definitely saw that today. And I think they're getting better each week right now, which is a big plus. Last year, I was fairly forgiving of them early in the season, but was very disappointed as the season wore on, as I didn't see improvement. Even in the BYU game at the end of the season, the team was getting torched in the secondary. And this year, that's not how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like each week I'm seeing a team that's getting better, learning how to fit the right spots, do the right things, and play well. So, I don't know. Maybe they have a shot at some games that the instincts would say no. But we'll find out. That's why we play the games. They're going to Utah next week. Let's hope they do a great job, shock the world, and go Bears. On the road again.